Tips on the Top Floor, show number 77, December 5th, 2005.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
Hey everybody, this is Joshua Skinner from Union, Mississippi, and you're listening to the Tips from the Top Floor.
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello, hello, hello. Hope you didn't miss me too much on Friday. Welcome to Tips from the Top Floor, show number 77. After some nasty rain over the weekend, today's weather is a bit better, actually. A bit of sunshine outside and clouds in a blue sky. Let's hope it'll stay this way. Sunshine is so much better for my mood than gray, rainy days. And today I can give you more details about the photography cruise that we'll do in September 2006. It'll take place from September 10th to 17th, and we have 30 photographer slots open for that cruise, but we can take a total of about 60 people with us, so feel free to bring your spouse, your family, or whoever you want to take with you. The ship that we'll be on is one of the biggest Royal Caribbean cruise ships, the Splendor of the Seas, and there's a lot of entertainment on board, even for those who don't specifically come for the photography. They have all sorts of stuff, a rock climbing wall, a casino, a big atrium where you can do shopping, an indoor and outdoor pool in a solarium with a sliding roof, whirlpools, the Adventure Ocean Youth Facilities, a spa and fitness center, and even an 18-hole miniature golf course. This is just an amazing ship. And I've never been on such a cruise, so I'm really looking forward to that. On the photography side, I'll be holding a photography workshop during the first day at sea. There are two photography excursions in the planning, one in Athens, Greece, and one in Heraklion, Crete. And of course, there will be enough opportunity for question answers. We'll have assignments and lots of hand-on exercises, and I hope we'll also be spending some time together in one of the ship's bars at one of the evenings.
Shiver me timbers!
No, here we go again. So who are you anyway?
I'm Captain Shoehorn, and if you don't...
Wait a minute. Captain Shoehorn? Oh, that's what I call a silly name.
You maggot, if you don't hand me that microphone this instant, I'll make you swap the deck.
Hey, take it easy and put that knife away. This is supposed to be a G-rated show.
Shut your trap!
And that hook of yours doesn't actually look very convincing either. Now, go where you've come from. This cruise is in the Mediterranean, not in the Caribbean, so there's no business for you here anyway. Now, would you let me continue the show? Wow, he's persistent. Anyway, you'll find a link to more cruise details on tipsfromthetopfloor.com, and booking is opened as of now. I've also opened a section on the Tips from the Top Floor forum for those of you who want to participate, so you can use this in order to team up with others for things like sharing rooms or whatever else you need to arrange for the cruise. And if you have questions regarding the booking process, or if you want to talk to someone directly, just send a mail to the travel agency and they'll be happy to assist you either by phone or via email, no matter where you live. And of course, you can find all the links and details on tipsfromthetopfloor.com. And here's more sniper information. Listener Mark Gibbons wrote the following. You discussed snipers exhaling halfway before pulling the trigger. I'm no sniper, but I used to target shoot rifles. You do use controlled breathing, but you don't exhale halfway. You lie down and hold the rifle taut, usually with a strap wrapped around your left arm. You thus form a tripod on the ground made up of your two arms and your chest with the rifle held firm. The technique is then to breathe in fully and hold your breath, pointing your rifle just below the target. You then breathe out very slowly, and as you do, your chest contracts. This shortens the back tripod, in quotes, leg, so the rifle rises very slowly, completely under your control. When the aim is exactly on target, you hold your breath again, wait just a moment, and then gently squeeze the trigger. And thank you, Mark, for that info. Now, I doubt that many of us take pictures lying flat on the tummy, so I guess it boils down to whatever works best for you. Some seem to prefer the halfway breathing out method, and some just hold their breath or do something else. The good morning assignment is finished, and again, there have been some great submissions. Check them out at tipsfromthetopfloor.com/gallery. And a new assignment is ready for you to participate in as we speak. You have about a week until December the 13th, 2005 to participate, and the title is At Home. Show us where you live, how you live, your apartment, your house, your castle, whatever you like, as long as it has to do with what you call at home. And right into today's topic. Today, I'll pick a few questions from the forum that I thought were quite interesting and answer them here for those of you who either haven't seen them yet or who aren't forum members. Question number one. Listener Lawrence from Victoria, Canada asks, is there a rule on when to use portrait style or landscape style for taking a picture? And the quick answer is, nope, there's no rule, but some subjects simply suggest a certain orientation just by looking at them. Also, knowing where the image will eventually end up will help you decide, or sometimes even dictate the format. If, for example, you shoot a picture of a driving car, chances are it'll feel more natural if you use landscape mode, because this way you can give the subject enough room to move into. And if you shoot a classical portrait, well, the name already suggests it. Portrait orientation might be worth a try there. And don't let yourself be forced into portrait or landscape only. There's always the possibility to take a picture with a camera tilted in between those angles in order to give it a more dynamic look. However, if you decide to make an image slanted, make sure it looks like you mean it. Nothing's worse than a water surface that's just 1 degree out of level. Question number two. Listener Michelle from San Diego posted a picture to the forum that shows a room with a very large and bright window in the background and a very dark interior of the room. She asks, I'm not happy with the background of this photo. It is too bright. Can you please advise or give me suggestions on how to make the window area look better and not so bright? What you're facing is a backlight situation. Daylight coming in through a window is very, very bright compared to the light inside a room, even if you have all lights switched on. You basically have three ways to handle such a situation. Number one, change your point of view to avoid getting the bright window in the background. Number two, use some exposure compensation in order to increase the foreground brightness. This might work for you, but be aware that then you are very likely to blow out the windows in the background and get them bright white. And as a third option, here's my preferred solution. Use a flash to brighten up the foreground. The flash will not do anything to the window in the background, but it'll increase the light on the foreground so that it's closer to the window's brightness. And you'll achieve the most natural looking results by either using a flash diffuser or by bouncing the flash off a white ceiling or wall. And the last question comes from forum member Cool Cheech from New York, and he writes, I don't understand why some of my photos come out very sharp, like high-definition TV, and some of them come out soft. Now, I'm talking about photos taken with tripods and a remote, so there is no camera shake to take into consideration. Well, here's multiple answers possible to that question. First, it could be because on some of your pictures, your camera focuses exactly on the spot where you want it to focus, and on the softer ones, the camera picks up something else that you didn't actually want to focus on. The only way to avoid that to happen is to make sure that if your camera has multiple focus points, that you retain control over which focus point is being used for a specific image. A second and more likely reason for this inconsistency is the different apertures that a camera chooses in different light situations. Most lenses, even those built into a point-and-shoot cameras, show a different level of sharpness depending on how wide open the aperture is. Most lenses have a so-called sweet spot, which is a certain range of aperture at which it is very sharp, and outside of those, it can be quite soft. Let's look at the kit lens of the Canon Digital Rebel, for example. This lens is great when used at apertures between, let's say, f8 and f11, but if you open it up wide, the image becomes a lot less sharp. A third reason might be that your camera's lens is only sharp at certain focal lengths. If you zoom all the way in or out, you might run into that problem, so avoiding the extremes might be a good option. The most important piece of advice that I can give you with regards to aperture and focal length influencing image sharpness is that you really get to know your lenses well. Whenever I get a new lens or camera, I make sure to take some test pictures at different apertures and focal lengths, even at different combinations of the two, in order to find out where the sweet spots are. Taking a few minutes to shoot some test pictures will, in the end, help you to get the best out of your equipment. And that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor, show number 77. Thanks for tuning in. You won't talk about this, you won't. Check out the cruise details on tipsfromthetopfloor.com. I'll have a link up on the website shortly. And again, if you have trouble booking, there's also contact details for the travel agency. They'll be happy to give you a call and assist you no matter where on this planet you live. I remember that. Thanks for listening. This is Chris Marquardt, podcasting from the top floor at Tübingen, southern Germany. Enjoy the week and happy shooting! It ain't as easy as it seems. Makes it easier.